If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the internet where we talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, etc., and so forth. I am Dan Selke, the editor of winteriscoming.net. We write about all those things. And I'm here with Natalie Zamora, fan-sided entertainment extraordinaire. Natalie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you? Happy to be on the show. 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. Yes. Our regular co-host, Daniel Roman, is still out for another week. And I'm not going to say where, but I am going to say now. I'm not going to give you details, but I will tell you that when Daniel Roman comes back next week, we have a bomb that we're going to drop on you. I would call what the secret project he's working on maybe one of the most exciting things we've ever done in the history of winterscoming.net, of the Take the Black podcast. And I can't say what it is, but it's a pretty cool. So Robert Harris, everyone else in the chat, look forward to that. Please, I do not think you will be disappointed. Details to come.
Very exciting stuff.
It's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah. But more of that next week and the weeks beyond. In the meantime, we're here to talk about all the stuff we just said we're going to talk about. So, Natalie, let's get into it. This week, we're going to talk about some more Game of Thrones fallout, another Game of Thrones spinoff on the way, a TV show that is exciting and flaming the minds of angry fans of the internet over. But first, I think let's touch on this past weekend when Disney, Marvel, Star Wars got together at the annual D23 conference to share, as they do every year, everything upcoming in the world of Disney. Now, I'm a bit maybe burned out on Disney just a smidge, but I figure we go through this quickly, and I want you to tell me, and you guys to tell me in the chat, whether any of this excites you, any of these new announcements coming from the Disney camp at D23. First up, Natalie, they showed off the first footage from a new Daredevil TV show, Daredevil Born Again, reviving the Netflix series, Charlie Cox, Vincent D'Onofrio, other people coming back. Natalie, are you interested?
I'm going to be such a downer for this whole part.
Go ahead. No, it's fine. It's fine.
No, we're all downers here. Absolutely not. To be fair, I never watched the Netflix show Daredevil, and I heard it was so good never watched it. That was a miss for me. So no, because of that, I'm not excited for this. But are you excited for Born Again?
I'm going to go ahead and give myself a six. Yeah, I watched a bunch of it. I thought it was nice. It was good. It was good. It wasn't like a change my life wonderful. Mm. But I'm interested. I'm a little afraid Disney will sanitize it. But good for the cast for being back on the wagon. Okay, maybe this will excite you then, Natalie. What about the first footage from, oh, here we go, Fantastic Four First Steps, starring Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, and the one dude from The Bear. And I guess Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom now.
I hope not. I'm excited for this press tour because I really like the actor. Don't know if I'm going to end up watching the movie, but the person who directed this movie or is directing it, Matt Shackman. Yeah, he's worked on Game of Thrones and Succession and other really good shows. So that has me kind of interested. I think once they have a first full-length trailer, then I'll make my decision if I will be watching it or not.
I think it's a prudent course of action. I will say, I do not like that title, Fantastic Four First Step. Yeah. Because it just makes it clear right at the outset they're already planning to do a franchise, which could you at least let us believe that we're just going to see a movie and have a nice time without telling us in advance there will be homework eventually? I wish they could do that, but I you know what? Another six for me. We're in the grades. The first footage, Natalie, from a new Marvel TV series called Ironheart, about an MIT student who makes an Iron Man costume and goes around the world doing Iron Man stuff. Are you jazzed?
No. Who is in this one? I don't know anything about this one.
I think it's mostly a new cast. Riri is the character. I know Chicago drag queen and RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars winner Shay Coulee is in it.
Okay.
So that's nice. I kind of doubt she's playing a main part, but I think that's fun.
Yeah. Sounds better than what I thought about it 5 minutes ago. So
okay, good. I'm going to go ahead and give myself a three for that one. Okay. So far, we've barely passed two and flunked one. Okay, yeah. Natalie, a trailer for Thunderbolts, the upcoming new Marvel movie where a bunch of kind of secondary characters get together and team up against, I imagine, some kind of threat. Florence Pugh's, it's Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes. Yeah. Florence Pugh is like Black Widow's sister or something. A few other people that are like kind of C-tier Marvel heroes together in one movie, battling. How jazzed are you about this?
No, I will not be watching this one. No matter what the trailer looks like, I'm not interested.
Apparently it leaked, which I was a little confusing because none of these trailers like were official, but they were all kind of going around Twitter after D23. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give myself another three, another failed grade. It could be good, but I'm way past the point where Marvel is like an assumed thing I have to go see. It's been quite a long time since that happened.
Yeah. Okay.
We got two more, Natalie. I know we're going to get you with one of these.
Yeah.
The first footage, maybe. I have no idea, actually. I'm lying. The first footage from the second season, the second and final season of Star Wars Andor, which I will say probably the most interesting Star Wars TV series they've produced out of like the 50 they've done. Surely one was going to hit. Did you ever watch Andor, Natalie?
Yes, I really liked Andor. So I'm excited for season two. This is the one that I'm like, all right, Disney, I can get on board. We're ready. The others know. And I'm glad that it's only two seasons. Obviously, it's building up to events that we've seen already. So that makes sense. But yeah, don't milk it. We only need two seasons. Perfect. Get in and get out. I'm ready for this. And I know you are too.
Me too. I really liked that show. I liked the drama. I liked the characters. I got attached. And that I liked how deliberate and kind of well-crafted and precise it was. So yeah, I'm into this. I gave myself a nine. Good for you. You got an A, Disney. You got an A for one of these things. I'm so happy for you. And finally, the first footage, Natalie, from The Mandalorian and Grogu, the movie of The Mandalorian, coming sometime in 2026-ish, probably. Will you be front row center for this cinematic event?
No.
That's a no.
I used to love The Mandalorian. The last season just soured it for me. Pedro Pascal is like not even in it anymore. Not like it really matters. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you can just tell it's just a cash grab at this point, and I'm not into it.
Yeah. I might. It's remarkable how Disney is able to take something that has a lot of verve and pep in its step and turn it into something that seems more like a cash grab. It's a sad but true. I could be brought back into the Mandalorian fold if they have a good run at something. It's possible. But yeah, my enthusiasm is a bit dimmed. But you know what? I'll go ahead and give myself a six. I want to pass it. I want to let it pass go. It's a D minus anticipation. And that means it can advance to the eighth grade. But yeah, I guess that's all I want to do there. I don't think we have to belabor this. We're not terribly excited about what Disney has to offer.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Let's get to something that's a little more interesting on the horizon. House the Dragon season 2 is over. Mm-hmm. The fallout certainly fell out. People are still talking. People are still interested. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it slow? Was it fast? How could they cut off the end of it like that? Did they cut off the end of it like that? Different answers from different people. But we won't be out of Westeros for that long. They are prepping a new show called A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is an adaptation of George R.R. Martin's Dunk and Egg novellas. And as we kind of are getting a fuller picture of what's in store, they've released a snippet of footage that we know that's coming out next year. I thought we would go through a couple of the big cast members and get to know some of the cast and see if anything sparks And for this exercise, I have drawn illustrations from the Hedge Knight graphic novel, written by Ben Avery and illustrated by Mike S. Miller. Why did I do that? Because pictures are fun.
Awesome. Yeah, you're going to need to walk me through these because, like I told you before, I don't know anything about this story. I'm excited, but I am clueless on this.
A tabula rasa. Here we have, first of all, Peter Claffey as Sir Duncan the Tall, a.k.a. Dunk, 7 foot tall, probably more like 6'4 on the show. Knight, kind, good-hearted, maybe a little slow, a little dumb, thick as a castle wall. Not dumb, simple. Uncomplicated man who goes to a tournament in the Reach, and his journey just spreads on from there. I like Peter Claffey, seems like a good choice for this. Just kind of tall, square-jawed knight kind of dude. Good place to start. Who's next? We got Dexter Sol Ansel as Egg, his squire, who is named Egg because he's bald. Again, kid, kind of the smart, sprightly, crafty squire to Dunk's, the brain to Dunk's brawn, the Rizzoli to his aisles, that kind of dynamic. It's an old dynamic, you know, someone who's the muscle and someone who does the talking. Mm-hmm. It's worked a lot. We saw it in The Mandalorian and Grogu even. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing it here. It's a fun dynamic in the books. I'm looking forward to seeing it on screen. And so far, 2 for 2 for the casting. They are clearly going for literalism, which I hope they do, because frankly, House of the Dragon could have taken me off a little bit as it went further and further from the books. How hard is it to just stay true to a good book? How hard could it possibly be? I'm hoping we get a little more of that going forward. Dragonheart thinks that Dunk doesn't look cool without long hair. I don't know if he's supposed to look cool, honestly. I like the look. Natalie, have you ever heard of any of these people? These actors, characters, or otherwise?
The characters, Dunk and Egg, just because of the name of the books. But the actors, no. I do not know them. But they look very similar to the illustration. So
hopefully this show can turn them into some stars the way Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon did to some extent. It's always good for that. And yes, I agree, Dragonheart. How hard could it be to stay true to books? You have good stuff. Just do it. This shouldn't be that difficult, in my opinion. I'm still a little mad. I didn't put everybody on here, but a lot of people. Danny Webb as Sir Arlen of Pennytree, kind of Duncan's elderly knight master. They're not rich. So the good thing about this story is that it's not about rich, noble princes and princesses who are in castles. These are like wandering, like a step up above hobo, kind of a wandering Westeros warriors looking for a job, wandering the land. Sir Arlen of Pennytree doesn't have a lot of money. Dunk doesn't have a lot of money. They're just trying to get by. He dies very early in the story, and Dunk kind of, that's Dunk becomes a knight. His old master dies just of old age, I think, not like anything dramatic. And he's like, okay, I'm a knight now. Cool. No longer a squire. And I put him in here because he's, you know, semi-important for that role. We got Tanzin Crawford as Tanzel. The whole story is kind of around a tournament in the Reach. She's a puppeteer at the center of some kind of the drama. I will say that she's like the only main female character. Do you object to that, Natalie, that there aren't a lot of women in this story?
I'm not sure, but I did see some discourse about that on social media when people were sharing like the full like photos of all the cast together. And people were like, oh, they were sharing, you know, that clip from, I think it was season one that, Olivia Cooke said too many men about House of the Dragon. There was something about that.
House of the Dragon? Shared it.
Yeah. I don't know. But so there was some discourse about that. It's one of those things where, yeah, I would love to see more women, obviously. But I also hate when there are women added to some fantasy stories just to be like love interests. So I'd rather avoid that. Like if we're going to add women, let's have them be well-rounded, actual fleshed out characters. And if they're not going to do that, then fine. All men, whatever.
I think there is, I feel like today in Hollywood. There's a lot of talk mm-hmm. about equity, a lot of talk about representation. I think it's all legitimate and worth having a discussion is. If there is a story that is just mostly female characters, mostly male characters, and that's what it is, I yeah. really don't mind it being adapted as is. Uh-huh. I don't think things need to be added to just for that purpose.
Yeah.
And at least this first novella, the second one, there are more women, third, more and more women. But in this first okay. one, there just aren't a lot. And I don't think that is an automatic demerit
yeah.
as long as the show is good. So I'm not yeah. against it, but it is true. There's a deficit. I feel like House of the Dragon. Nope. Not going to go there this time. We'll just move on. We got to have some Targaryens. Of course we do. So this is after the dragons are all dead. And the tournament has some Targaryen princes present, but they are not the main dudes.
Right.
This is Finn Bennett as kind of the resident crazy Targaryen prince of the day, Arian Brightflame. You got to love that Targaryen. Okay. I know this actor. I know him from, because you watched the True Detective Night Country. Did you not love him? I thought he was great.
Yeah, I really, really liked him. He was super, super endearing. So yeah, it's exciting to see him in more things.
I legit thought he stole the show from Jodie Foster. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I really liked him a lot. He was kind of like my breakout character of that show. So I'm happy to see him cast other stuff. And of course, in the space of a, you know, half-crazed mercurial Targaryen prince, he could be very good. I'm looking forward to that already. I like that casting a lot.
Yeah,
that's we got a new one. This is the last one. I didn't put everybody up here because we don't want to be here all day, but mm-hmm. Henry Ashton as Daeron the Drunken Targaryen. So at JP agrees, good detective. He was really good.
Yeah.
This guy is a bit less of a known quantity. Daeron the Drunken Targaryen. Okay. There was a time I would have liked to say this, and now I'm a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
He's one of those Targaryen dreamer people who gets visions, which was up to like a second ago was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like that House of the Dragon has kind of put me off them a little bit.
Yeah.
My problem with House of the Dragon, the visions were that it's kind of, they seem to have a lot of stock in the importance of the visions and the prophecies and all that. Whereas you don't need to. It can just kind of be a little facet of a character. This guy drinks because he has headaches and stuff from the visions, which is a nice little character moment. Mm-hmm. And I hope they don't feel the need to make it feel weighty and important and can just, what I would do, and I think what George R. R. Martin does is just have the idea that he has visions on the margins. And folk just look at him and either don't care about it or just see the fact that he drinks a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many light, fluffy ways to go into this. And I hope they stay true to that and don't bury us in solemnity, as I fear House of the Dragon occasionally had a bit of a habit to do.
Yeah. And House of the Dragon, I feel like one main issue I had with all the visions and magic was that they just over explained everything and had it all like so connected, and it was just like, just let it be more vague. You can speculate what it means, and I don't know. We'll see.
And the need to like connect it to Game of Thrones, where I don't really think you need to. I have this horrible vision of like a boardroom at HBO or Max or Warner Bros. Discovery, where they're sitting around being like, we got to make sure it's a Game of Thrones cinematic universe, so make sure you underline this stuff, which is death. Just let these good stories exist. You're giving so much good stuff. But anyway, I'm more nervous than I would like to be, but mostly excited and interested to get a new take on this world. God, I hope it's good.
I have maybe no expectations only because I don't know the story, but I really am hoping that it is like a standalone separate thing that, we don't need the connections. We don't need the, this is a Game of Thrones show. Remember, always throughout the season, because we remember. It's why we're watching it. So
remember. And it's like, there are folk who watch House of the Dragon who didn't watch Game of Thrones. We know some in our office. And I think that's a strength, not a weakness. Like the fact that it stands on its own.
Yeah.
So I really hope they know what they're doing and they embrace it. I've been a little worried about Warner Bros. Discovery. I'm not sure if you heard that they had like a pretty rough quarterly earnings callback. That, I mean, Max is making money. HBO makes money, but the company as a whole, and I'm not going to pretend I understand all the high finance behind it, is in some hot water financially. And I don't know. I guess I fear that when business folk are backed into a corner, they just start pointed and saying MCU at stuff and hoping it gels. And I hope it doesn't happen. I agree, Nicole. I hope the show is lighter and funnier than House of the Dragon. Me too. I love darkness. I love solemnity. I love heaviness. But you gotta give us some layers.
Yeah.
And we'll rejoin this sometime in 2025 when it comes out. Hoping for the best, nervous for the worst.
As always, me with most things.
I wish I could just enjoy things more sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's true that ignorance is a bit of bliss. Do you ever think that like you think about this stuff too often to the point where like I wonder how I would enjoy this if I didn't have this job? I wonder if I just like turn it on, watch it, and then go on with my day, if that would make a difference, if I would enjoy it more. I don't
probably
know.
Probably. I mean, it's a different type of enjoyment because you're not invested.
Yeah.
My parents actually just binged House of the Dragon both seasons.
Really?
Yeah, they really liked it. My mom loved it, but she she hasn't watched Game of Thrones. She didn't have any prior knowledge beyond me just being obsessed with it. And she told me she enjoyed the Daemon scenes. She enjoyed things that I didn't. So yeah, maybe there's something to just not being so attached that you can just enjoy it and be okay. But I'd rather be attached.
I would too. I love being attached. It must make it really hard to like, you know that I love to, and by the way, good morning, Julie. Good to see you. You know that I love to get attached to things and kind of say like, I would do it this way. I would do it that way. Mm-hmm. It must be hard to be in a creative position and to be getting differing opinions, all of which are sincere and earnest and not lies, but they just clash with each other, and knowing what to do with that. I do think sometimes like fans online will say like, well, they should just read the fan reactions, see what they're doing wrong. And like, which ones? Because the fan reactions are not always the same. So I respect that. I respect them. And I just want you to make me happy. How would you do that? I think I just go through the old Take the Mic episodes and you'll figure it out. But I believe in your abilities. And hello, Cannibal the Dragon. Good to see you. All right, Natalie, moving on. So that's that news today. Not a whole lot of House Dragon stuff popping off, Game of Thrones stuff popping off. I did want to pick your brains about this because I know that you watched, before it came out, the fourth and final season of The Umbrella Academy, which came out on Netflix last Thursday, Friday, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And you told me that you more or less liked it. Were you surprised that when this season of TV came out, there was quite a large amount of blowback among fans? Like these IMDb ratings for the final season absolutely cratered. The discourse on all the usual suspects places, be it Reddit, Twitter/X, elsewhere, has been pretty vitriolic. People not enjoying this. You'll say it's a terrible ending to a show that I have enjoyed. This Umbrella Academy is kind of offbeat family superhero comedy drama show that was unique in that it didn't take itself too seriously. Characters were a lot of fun, very willfully wacky, a lot of time travel apocalypse shenanigans. I enjoyed the show. I didn't watch the final season. Natalie, were you surprised at how kind of negative the reactions were to this?
I was so surprised, genuinely. I was actually talking to our colleague Bryce about it because he told me he was writing a post about why fans hated it. And I was like, wait, fans hated it? He was like, look on Twitter. I was really surprised. This is a great segue from our last conversation because I am not attached to this show. So I don't really have like any, I'm invested as in like I've seen it. And so I know the characters, I know the storyline. But to be honest, I watched the season for work, so I wasn't too excited about it. But then once I started watching it, I actually really, really enjoyed it more than the third season. And I think that people are upset about the ending because there's a post-credit scenes where it kind of makes something that happened pointless, but I don't think it was pointless. But also, isn't everything we do kind of pointless? It's just the ride that we're on. Like, I feel like everything that we do in life is like contradictory and things don't go our way, and like, not to get into a philosophical conversation here, but yeah, so I don't know. That doesn't bother me. I think also the other issue is that people are really invested in the relationships on the show. Mm-hmm. I am not. So there was an unexpected relationship that formed this season that I thought was really interesting, but people who wanted them to be with other characters were really, really pissed about that. So I get it. If you have your ship and you don't want them to break up and then they do, it sucks. Sure. Whatever. I didn't care. And I thought that those scenes were actually really interesting and different. And I wish we could see more of it actually, but Netflix only gave them 6 episodes. So they kind of had to cram a lot of stuff in there. So yeah, I really enjoyed it, but I'm really not that invested in the show. So maybe that's why.
I love that. Honestly, you're making me sound like I want to watch. I think I'm going to try to watch the final season. I'm going to skip the third because I don't know what am I made of time, but that's really interesting how it goes against the grain of what everybody is saying, man. And I liked you going wide with the philosophical stuff. Isn't everything we do pointless? Everything we do a matter of perspective?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you're right. All these fans who are upset about the final season of Umbrella Academy, which, by the way, Julie, I know that you watched the Umbrella Academy. I'd love to hear what you thought about it, if you've seen the final season yet. If you're invested in the show, maybe that's where all the vitriol's coming from. But if you just kind of glaze across it and are at peace with your chakras and all that stuff, more like you were, then you can enjoy it.
I don't have too much pressure, I guess, on the endings of shows. I know it's hard to do. And like a disappointing or bad ending of a show doesn't ruin the show for me. Like some people are saying like, oh my God, it ended with season 3 because they're just ignoring the 4th season and things like that. Obviously people swore off Game of Thrones because of the final season and things like that. I don't think it's like, just you're making yourself unhappy. Just if you didn't like the episode, like you can still enjoy the rest of it. I don't understand. So yeah, I think it's more about like the whole experience of the show rather than the absolute ending. So I was fine. Like whatever they would have done, I don't think I would have cared that much.
This is wonderful wisdom you never, ever hear on the internet. No one on Reddit or Twitter thinks like this.
Yeah.
Like if you don't like something, you can disengage and just not have to be mad about it all the time. Whereas my job is partially, I feel like I'm like kind of locked into being mad about certain things. Ugh. Although I also think I can also step back, but wow, this is really eye opening. Julie says that she wasn't sure how she felt about the finale of Umbrella Academy because it's sad. It was such a finality about the characters. And I think if we lost one or two characters, it would be different, but we lost them all. It's been a week. I'm not going to be too precious about spoilers, even Klaus. Although I know that the very ending suggested that maybe we didn't exactly lose them 100%, whatever. I think I will try watching this.
It wasn't like the best thing ever, but I mean, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So
I'll also ask you, this is off topic, but I've just been intrigued by your philosophical musings. Natalie, apart from TV shows, movies, books, whatever, do you think the fact that we're adrift in a meaningless universe is a depressing thought or one that kind of frees you from the need to weigh yourself down with care?
The latter. The world and like making this world a better place, but other than that, yeah, that's about it. Like none of this matters, just have fun, enjoy things you enjoy, yeah, that's about it.
This is great. I wonder if we should pivot this entire podcast from now on to be about philosophy. I'll go read Kant and then come back to this. Melissa says that, of course, we remember endings. We're not going to do that. Don't worry. We'll be dug into TV and stuff. I agree with her. Endings are very important.
Yeah.
And she says that now that we House of Dragon 2 had some problems, remembering how great the writing was of the first half of Game of Thrones. I'd argue like the first 3/4. I even like the last seasons. Maybe, I agree with you that it's good to let go. I would also say philosophically that I feel most alive when I am engaged in them, because there's a point where letting go completely from these kind of petty human cares, be it TV shows, your family, whatever, is kind of like a living death where if you're not attached to anything intensely, you can't really feel intensely.
I think
there's also a positive for being overly attached or just attached, and we'll move on from this second. We're going really deep. Take the breath for dummies philosophy. I'm really enjoying it though.
Agreed. Yeah, no, definitely. Attachments are good because then you can be passionate about things. If you don't care, then you won't be obsessed. And I become overly obsessed with things in an unhealthy way. So
add some spice to life. What else are you watching, Natalie, or reading before we get too down deep this hole?
I finally picked Industry back up, so I'm ready to get through that. I'm still like towards the beginning, so I'm not on season 3 yet, but I'm really, really excited because it is a really good show. You should try watching it. You might like it. It's a really solid show, and some of the things, investment banking, don't know what they're talking about, but I make it work. It's fine. So I definitely recommend it.
Derivatives. I will say, I saw like a trailer for it on TV and I'm like, should I watch this? It looks pretty good. I feel like kind of pierce my bubble the first couple of seasons, but this one looks more interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I will try to add that to my queue. I'm not watching anything really new. I finished Sex and the City.
You did?
For the first time. Yeah, that was nice. It's very unrelated to anything we do here, but good for them. And I'm still reading The Wheel of Time, and I'm going to try to get on The Rings of Power here in a minute. Amazon, hello, I love you. Give us screeners, please. That would be delightful. And if anybody out there has watched anything or read anything, we'd love to know. And Julie needs to live long enough to read The Winds of Winter. It's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. By the way, a purpose of nothing, if you guys are here just recently and weren't here in the beginning, we have a big thing coming down the pike from Winter is Coming. Daniel Roman's on a secret mission right now that is very exciting and might brush against some topics we're discussing here. Ooh boy, I can't wait. Natalie, are you ready to go to the WIC News Lightning Round?
Yes, of course. Let's do it.
Very nice. And Robert Harris is watching The Challenge. I don't know what that is exactly, but it sounds difficult. The WIC News Lightning Round, where we go through other news stories we couldn't get to in the main body of the show and give our 20-second opinions, no more, no less, unless there's more or less, which does happen sometimes. Okay, I kind of arranged these in a way that I think we can pretty much do whatever with them. I am going to have you ask me
first. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is also news out of D23, possibly, yes. But Toy Story 5, The Incredibles 3 are happening, and an Inside Out TV show. Are you excited?
Not as of right now. I mean, it's Pixar. We all love Pixar. Everyone's love has some Pixar movies they like, right?
Yeah.
They're walking the line between kind of being a creative studio and trying to be an IP-driven mega studio. Will it work? Historically, the answer is yes, but I didn't see Inside Out 2, so I'm a little less excited than I used to be about Pixar movies, but I believe in them. Natalie, I'm not sure if you saw the Avatar movie. Statistically, you probably did, because a lot of people did.
Yeah.
There's a third one coming up. James Cameron, Blue Aliens, has a subtitle, Fire and Ash. Copyright infringement, exciting. What do you think?
I'm so excited. I love the Avatar movies. I love the second one. Oh my gosh, it was amazing to watch in theaters. So yeah, third one is coming out, has a name. James Cameron is so hilarious. All the interviews he said, basically like, I'm doing 4 and 5. No one else is going to direct them. Of course, I'm going to keep them going. So yeah, I mean, everything he does is money. So good for him.
He is an amazing filmmaker working for like many, many years now.
Yes. Okay. The next one, which definitely was interesting. Episodes of Heartstopper, Arcane, and other Netflix shows have leaked online.
Yeah. Netflix was hit with this major leak last week where just all these upcoming shows leaked online. It happens. This was like not long after the House of the Dragon finale kind of leaked, although it's just little scenes here and there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just a state of modern streaming TV. When it's all digital like this, this kind of thing happens, or everyone's just terrible at their jobs. One of those two. All right. I know that you like horror stuff, so I hope this one is something you can speak to. I imagine it is. James Wan, the director behind stuff like Saw and The Conjuring, I think, Annabelle, Haunted Doll, is going to make a new movie version of the horror classic, The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes, I'm definitely interested in this one. I love The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Definitely a really, really great classic. And James Wan has a great track record when he's directing. If he's producing, I don't trust it. But if he is that one actually directing it, then I think this actually could be really, really good. I'm excited to hear more about it. But I think that it's in good hands. So fingers crossed.
Nice. I'm in.
Our next one, there's going to be a new Ghostbusters animated show based on the movies coming to Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, I was never a giant Ghostbusters fan. I've seen a couple of them. I know there was an animated show back when I was like a wee baby. I didn't watch it. Again, it's more like IP franchise kind of stuff. These newer ones have Finn Wolfhard and other actors. I think Paul Rudd's in them. Why not? Why not? Go ahead, Netflix. Have fun. Splintering. Here's one that I kind of picked out. Interview with the Vampire, show that we both like. I know that. And the showrunner, Roland Jones, it was a purely like kind of offseat of the pants, this kind of flyaway comment, was talking about Lestat and that he doesn't have to be a man of 2026, which got me worried that that means that the third season won't be out until 2026. What do you think of that, Natalie?
Yeah, I had the same thought that it's probably not coming until 2026. I guess we'll see when they start filming. That could give us an indication. No. But I know it is annoying that they gave us the tease of the whole song and the video and everything. And I was just like, for sure, thinking it would come back sooner. But I guess that's not the case. And I'm waiting for this one.
Boo.
Fingers crossed, it's sooner than later. All right, our next one. Brandon Sanderson breaks Kickstarter record raising money for Brandon Sanderson's Cosmere RPG. Don't know what any of this is.
a lot of letters. Brandon Sanderson, huge fantasy writer, one of the most successful in the world. He's a marketing genius. Mm-hmm. He's making this like basically Dungeons and Dragons tabletop role-playing game, but with his characters and stuff. That's what it is. And he's raised like $7,000,005 on Kickstarter in like a few days. It's on track to be the biggest board game raising thing ever. That man is very good at making money.
He has a huge fan base.
Huge. And he knows how to stoke them. Yeah. He knows how to get them excited. He's so good. I think he's a better marketer than a writer. But I really respect him though. And finally, and one more thing to ask if you're excited about it or not. Natalie, Sony this morning dropped a trailer for Kraven the Hunter, the new Spider-Man villain movie. I think starring Aaron Taylor Johnson as the titular Kraven. No Spider-Man, though. Kraven should be enough. Coming out this December. Are you or are you not over the moon excited about this?
I am not. But I will say, I have not watched the trailer yet. I do want to watch the trailer to see kind of like what the vibe is. It's a Sony Marvel movie, so it'll likely be bad, but it might be bad enough that it's funny. And in that case, I'll watch it. So I'll be waiting to see the reviews until I decide.
I will too. Robert Harris thinks it looks good. The trailer, does look good. I need to watch it too. Yeah, so much happening. So much, so little time. Natalie, thank you so much for being here these past 2 weeks. I'm sure we'll see you again. The plan is for Daniel Roman to come back next week, but plans change, people. So we'll see what happens. Thanks, all of you. Sorry.
Oh, you're like, we'll see if that happens.
I just don't want to, like you said, it's better to kind of approach life with a anything goes.
We'll see.
I accept things as it come.
That says we'll see. So that's literally like my philosophy.
I love that. If you want to see more of us, feel free to come back every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, TV, movies, etc. We're also available in podcast form wherever they're downloadable, be it YouTube Music, iTunes, etc. And just like us, subscribe to us, comment. You're already on that because we love to hear, love to see it. We just love it in general. And what will we be talking about next time on Take the Black? We'll see.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.